Blog Talk Radio.
Of Eastern Airlines. We're coming to you live on our cyber-based radio network, which includes listeners in over 40 countries around the world. 184 of these broadcasts have been made in just under 4 years, and we're always glad when you listen in. Let's introduce our host for tonight's show. Well, let's see. On my board, I see Steve Thompson up in North Carolina. How are you, Steve?
Hi, Neil, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. And it is cold and wet up here in the mountains of North Carolina, and the peak leaf season will occur this following week. So hurry on up and see the beautiful leaves as they turn color here in the mountains of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Neil.
Steve, you'll have plenty of Floridians heading your way in a very short time. Chuck Albright down in Central Florida, around the villages. Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing great. We've had a little rain this week, and yesterday it looks like winter has set in. Of course, tomorrow it's going to be 90 degrees, so I guess that was a one-day winter for us. So everybody's out on the golf courses, and we're having a great time here. We're going to get our summer. People getting ready for the snowbirds because they'll be coming back this month. So they'll gain about 30,000 people here in the next 90 days. Neil?
Okay, Chuck. Well, let's move on down a little bit further south, down toward the east coast of South Florida, where we have Cecile Intriago. Cecile, hello.
Hi. It's beautiful weather. It was in the low 80s today. No rain. And the grass is really growing, and it's just great weather right now.
Excellent.
In Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale area, wonderful. Okay, and let's see. Gay Harvey, you're over in Hilton Head. Are you there, Gay?
Yes, I am. It's just a gorgeous day here, finally cooling off, not quite so hot and not humid today, which is nice.
Okay, very good to have you with us tonight. Let's see, who
Thank
else?
You.
I've got Jim Graybill. Jim, I can see you're up there in Atlanta, Georgia area. How are you, Jim?
Oh, great, Neil, great. It's temperature's good here today. It's up in the mid-70s, and leaves are not turning here yet, thank goodness. I don't want to see the leaves turn this year, but as you say, time marches on.
Yeah, it does that. If you have listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, if you haven't copied them down by now, please do, and come back and listen to us and call in. You can call in at area code 213-816-1611, or you can get us toll free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 and toll free 877-572-1861. Remember, when you call the show, if you want to be on the air with us and ask a question, be part of the show, make sure you press the number one button on your radio, on your telephone dial, I should say, if you wish to connect live with our show. And that way we know that you want to add your comment or join in our discussion. Just a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to two websites that we recommend that you listen to us. Of course, if you're listening to us now, you know which one of those that you used, but we like to broadcast for first-time listeners that you can go to EALradioshow.com, and there on the home page, click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon, or you can go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website, and click the radio shows icon on that homepage. Their site is www.repaonline.com. Now, remember, if you're going to connect with us live, one of our live shows, you want to be in the show after 7 o'clock or right around 7 o'clock, because that's when our show airtime is, and that's Eastern Standard Time, of course. Should you go to either one of these sites prior to that time, then you might, when you click on the icon, the little arrow in the circle, you might hear our last archived radio show. So make sure that you are after 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, click the arrow in that radio icon, and you will be live in our live broadcast. We have some 184 broadcasts that we have done since we first started the radio show, having fun with each broadcast, different subjects with each broadcast, it seems. Some have been, you know, a variety of different shows that we've presented on the air. We've had musicals. We've had skits. We've had the crazy Luann. We're still trying to find Luann. We don't know what happened to her, but if anyone would like to step up and volunteer for Luann, then we'd be happy to talk with you about that. But she's from way down south, and we'd like to have that voice in some of our skits that we do, because we do some skits, and these skits on our radio show are produced so that they represent some stories that actually were Eastern Airlines. Most of them were Eastern Airlines stories. So we're not making some of this stuff up. Some of it we do stretch the stories into a little bit of fiction, I guess if it were a book, but a little bit of fiction. But most of our stories have represented real-life, true stories of Eastern Airlines, back when the Eastern Airlines was in operation. Of course, we have the new Eastern coming up very soon. We'll be talking about that, and we have talked about that in the past. But that's enough of me talking right now. Let's start the show. Let me, first of all, get the engine for the show started.
Clear.
I know Steve's recognized something.
Yes, and the engine is still very rough, and we have asked Chuck before to fix this real bright yellow flame that's coming out of the exhaust when we start the engine, and I believe it is too rich, and it needs some adjusting, and I think we've discussed this with him before.
Well, I have done some adjustments there to the carburetors, but you're right. The flame is still a kind of a bright orangey color, so I'll keep working on this, guys. Don't give up on me.
Well, Chuck, it's been so long since you've done any reciprocating engine maintenance. I don't know whether you could time an engine anymore.
Well, it would be a challenge today because, you know, you work on those jets for almost, 40 years or more. You kind of forget a few things, but I know that it's not supposed to have a yellow flame.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it should be nice white smoke coming out of the back of those 3350 Pratt & Whitney R3350 engines. Well, we'll start our show, but we'd like to start off with a song that I think all of us recognize. And I was trying to find a song that was appropriate for the subject that we're going to talk about tonight, airport identifiers. But this song seems to be one of my favorites about airplanes. And I'll start that song up, and just as soon as I can get it on the turntable here, and I think you'll enjoy listening to John Denver.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you wait for me, hold me like you've never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down, so many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you, then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone, about the times I won't have to stay. Kiss me and smile for me, tell me that you'll wait for me, hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Hate to go.
Miss John Denver and the songs that he sang. What a wonderful song.
That we love that song.
I do too. Of course, John Denver died in his own airplane. A few years ago. Years ago, when Eastern was in its infancy and airports were grass strips, the airport identifiers were very simple. In most cases, just a two-letter code. However, because of the number of airports used in commercial operations throughout the world, we've added an additional letter, and sometimes two. Tonight we're going to talk about that. From ABC, which is Albacete, Spain, ALB, to Zurich, which is ZRH, Switzerland, airports around the world are universally known by a unique three-letter code. The International Air Transport Association, better known as IATA, IATA, location identifier in aviation speak. It's obviously much easier for pilots and controllers, flight attendants, travel agents, frequent flyers, computers, and baggage handlers to say and write ORD than the O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, Illinois. But how did this practice start? And why are some airport codes easy to understand, like ABE and ZRH, while others seem to make absolutely no sense, like ORD? Steve, can you tell us more?
Sure, Neil. When the Wright brothers first took to the air in 1903, there was no need for coding airports, since an airport was literally any convenient field with a strong wind. However, the National Weather Service did tabulate data from cities around the country using a two-letter identification system. Early airlines simply copied the system, but as airline service exploded in the 1930s, towns without weather station codes needed identification. Some bureaucrat had a brainstorm, and the three-letter system was born, giving a seemingly endless 17,576 different combinations. To ease the transition, existing airports placed an X after the weather station code. The Los Angeles tag became LAX. In 1947, Portland became PDX. Phoenix became PHX, and so on. And incidentally, at the historic sand dune in Kitty Hawk, where the first flight occurred, U.S. Park Service maintains a tiny airstrip called FFA, First Flight Airport. Many station codes are simply the first three letters of the city name. ATL is Atlanta. BOS is Boston. MIA is Miami. SIN is Singapore. MAD is Madrid. SYD is Sydney, Australia. The first letters of multiple cities served forms and other codes like DFW for Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, MSP for Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota, GSP for Greenville-Spartanburg, South Carolina. Sometimes a city name lends itself to one letter for each word, such as Salt Lake City, SLC, Port of Spain in Trinidad, and Tobago, POS, or Port-au-Prince, Haiti, PAP. And for others, knowing the city had a former name cracks the code. So we have LED in St. Petersburg, formerly Leningrad, and SGN in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, PEK, Peking, and BON in Mumbai. Now, Chuck, can you add some more to our coding system?
Certainly, Steve. Most of the hard-to-decipher identifiers become obvious if one knows the name of the airport rather than the city served. Louisiana example is ESF, for Ethley Field in Alexandria. ORLY Airport is ORY. Charles de Gaulle Airport is CDG and serves Paris, France, while Tokyo, Japan has Narita Airport is NRT, and Grand Rapids, Michigan has the Gerald R. Ford Airport, GRR, G-R-R. When you know what the code represents, some curious acronyms become obvious. MSY is the former Mossad Stockyard in New Orleans, named for the land where the early aviator John Moretz suffered a fatal crash. Stockyards that became the Louis Armstrong New Orleans Airport is CMH, is Columbia Municipal Hangar. BWI is Baltimore Washington International. LGW is London Gatwick. And LHR is London Heathrow. This system of identifying airports caught on quickly and soon expanded to include all radio navigation aids used by pilots. The VOR on the field at ORD sends out the Morse code for ORD. Recently, some VORs not located at the airport of the same name changed identifiers to prevent possible confusion. The clearance crossed 10 miles south of Chattanooga was confusing when the airport and the VOR were 5 miles apart. FAA surprisingly didn't try to change the name of the city, but changed the VOR, resulting into Chattanooga Airport, CHA, and the Choo-Choo VOR is GCO. Deal?
Huh, that's a funny one, Chuck. All localizer identifiers are prefaced with an I. Compass locators are assigned a two-letter identifier, normally using the localizer as the base. For example, at ABC, the localizer might be IABC, the locator outer marker AB, and the locator inner marker BC. Note, outside the U.S., radio navigation aid naming may be much less formal. Some special interest groups successfully lobbied the government to obtain their own special letters. The Navy named all the new N codes Naval Aviators Learn to Fly at NPA in Pensacola, Florida, and then dream of going to Top Gun in Miramar, California as NKX. The Federal Communications Committee set aside the W and K codes for radio stations east and west of the Mississippi. Respectfully, Q was designated for international telecommunications. Z was reserved for special uses. The Canadians made off with all the remaining Y codes, which helps explain YUL for Montreal, YYC for Calgary, etc. The start of that song, YYZ, by the band Rush, is the Morse code for the letters YYZ. Rush is from Toronto. One of the special uses for Z is identifying locations in cyberspace. What am I talking about? Well, an example is ZCX, the computer address of the FAA's Air Traffic Control Headquarters Central Flow Control Facility. ZCX is not an airport, but a command center just outside Washington, D.C. That controls the airline traffic into major terminals. Gee, this is getting more complicated. Gay, can you simplify this, please?
Not really, Cecile. The lack of these letters puts a crimp in the logic of some codes. If the city starts with an N, W, or K, it's time to get creative. Norfolk, Virginia ignored the N to get ORF. Newark, New Jersey is EWR. Newport News, Virginia chose to use the same name of the airport to get PHF, Patrick Henry Field. Both Wilmington, North Carolina and Key West, Florida followed Norfolk's lead to obtain ILM and EYW. West Palm Beach in Florida did some rearranging to get PBI, Palm Beach International. Kansas City, Missouri became MKC, and more recently, the new Kansas City Airport Code, MCI. The code for Kansas City International Airport, MCI, was assigned during the early design phase of the airport when the name was going to be Mid-Continental International. Shortly before it opened, Kansas City officials decided to change the name so people would know what city it was in. It was too late to change the code. The continued growth of aviation worldwide meant that three-letter combinations were insufficient to identify every airport. Eventually, the system expanded, allowing numbers and four-digit combinations. However, an airport served by scheduled route air carrier or military airlift aircraft always has a code comprising of only three letters. Raleigh, North Carolina not only has RDU for Raleigh-Durham International, but also the much smaller 5W5, South Raleigh Airport, W17, Raleigh East Airport, 2NC3, Sky 5 Helipad, and ONC4, Wake Medical Center Heliport. The two-letter, two-number identifiers use the two-letter post office or supplemental abbreviation of the state for the two letters. 2ND9 is in North Dakota. 85FL is in Florida, etc. Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, known as 49J when it was General Aviation Airport, now has airline service and therefore has a new identifier, HHH. And I should know about that one. That's where I live.
Well, lacking both W and N, Washington National has a code of DCA for District of Columbia Airport. The newer Dulles Airport, just outside D.C., was DIA from Dulles International Airport. However, the DIA and DCA were easy to confuse, especially when hastily written in chalk on a baggage card, scribbled in a tag, or to a handwritten air traffic control slip. So we're stuck with the backwards IAD. Now, one of the rules of the game is the first and second letters and second and third letters of the identifier may not be duplicated with less than 200 nautical miles celebration. Houston has HOU for the William P. Hobby Airport. The 200-mile rule led to the airport label of IAH for the new Intercontinental Airport, Houston. Louisville, Kentucky already had an airport with a logical code of LOU. However, the letters for the new airport had to be something radically different. SDF stands for Stanford Field.
Airport ciphers sometimes don't originate with the city or airfield name, but with the county in which it resides. Longview Kilgore in Texas is GGG for Gregg County Airport. The W in Detroit, DTW, comes from Wayne County. The P in Greenville, PGV, comes from its location in Pitt County, North Carolina. However, the John Wayne Airport serving Orange County takes its call letters from the less recognized Santa Ana, SNA. A little more geographic cracks the code for CVG and MDT, ABE, and GTR. Cincinnati, Ohio has its airport located in northern Kentucky. Look at the map if you don't believe me. Therefore, Cincinnati ID actually comes from the town of Covington. CVG, Harrisburg International, is physically located in Middletown, Pennsylvania, MDT. In Pennsylvania, the cities of Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton are served by ABE Airport. Any Mississippi State Bulldog fan can tell you that Columbus, Starkville, and West Point form the Golden Triangle of Mississippi, with airline service at the Golden Triangle Regional Airport, GTR. Deal?
History rather than geography solves the puzzle of BNATYSGEGOGG and MCO. The main airport in Nashville, Tennessee, was named in honor of Colonel Harry Berry, who helped build it. BNA, Knoxville, also in Tennessee, doesn't have a single letter in common with its tag of TYS. However, a historian would know that the Tyson family donated the land in honor of their son killed in World War I. The current Orlando International Airport stands on the land that used to be McCoy Air Force Base, MCO. Spokane International Airport is coded as GEG in honor of Major Harold Geiger, a pioneer in Army aviation and ballooning. Geiger Field was renamed in 1960, but the code was not changed. Kalui Airport, Maui, was designated as OGG in honor of aviation legend and Lihu native Captain Bertram J. Hogg, pronounced Hoag. Gay?
One of the world's largest airports, JFK, is also one of the very few that changed call letters. A change is rare because an identifier becomes so well known to airline staff that changes are not normally permitted. Interestingly, the John F. Kennedy Airport's former code also came from the name of the field, IDL, for Idlewild Airport, itself named for the Idlewild golf course whose land became JFK. If you knew that Fort Myers used to be called Southwest Florida Regional, the RSW moniker starts to make sense. A code used by American Airlines but never seen by the traveling public is GSW. Pilots spend months at GSW, but no planes land or take off there. The mystery is solved when you discover that American Flight Academy, with its many simulators and classrooms, is in Fort Worth on the former site of the Greater Southwest Airport. An airport that has worked hard to change its given code is Sioux City, Sioux City's Sioux Gateway Airport, SUX. Mayor Craig Berenstein described the SUX code as an embarrassment. City leaders petitioned the FAA to change the code in 1998 and again in 2002. At one point, the FAA offered the city five alternatives: GWU, GYO, GYT, SGV, and GAY, but airport trustees didn't like any of them enough to change. In 2007, the airport made the best of their sucky cipher and started promoting the airport with the slogan, "Fly Sucks." Jim?
Well, there are other fun ones, like FAT, F-A-T, is Fresno, California. Dumb is Damai, Indonesia, while Norway's Bodø Airport is Boo, B-O-O. Harbor, Eloy Island in Italy is Zip, Z-I-P. Headingly, Australia is Hip. Hot Springs, Arkansas is, would you guess, Hot, H-O-T. And Willow, Alaska is Wow, W-O-W. Years ago, entire metropolitan areas were given a code to include many airports. NYC covered New York City, and L-O-N signified London. Unfortunately, there are no new metropolitan area codes due to the scarcity of letters. These codes provide the ability to quickly look up in a computerized reservation system all the flights to a certain city without using separate codes for each airport. Entering WAS as a designation will give me the next few flights to BWI, IAD, and DCA. Of course, that means Washington, Baltimore, Washington International, International Airport of Dulles, and DCA, Washington. In fact, three-letter codes are so scarce that after a year, they can be recycled. When Idlewild Airport became JFK, the old IDL tag was retired, then reused for Indianola, Mississippi. Steve?
Airlines use the three-letter codes internationally in their own network. SITA, S-I-T-A, for messages such as passenger loads and departure times. World ATC and weather agencies use a separate teleprinter network, the Aeronautical Fixed Telecommunications Network, AFTN, which uses a four-letter location and indicator, going from large area to actual airport. The first letters relates to the part of the world, and the second letter, the country. The third letter is a group of airports within that country. Now, most countries who use this particular convention use a letter to donate the flight information region, that's FIR, in which the airport is located. So F is Frankfurt, Frankfurt FIR in Germany, M is Munich, P is Paris FIR, M is Marseille, and other ways to use the third letter include identifying a group of airports with a common factor. For example, A was used in Germany for all Canadian and American Air Force bases, and the last letter positively identifies a specific airport.
Thus, Aberdeen, Scotland has the International Civilian Aviation Organization, ICAO, location indicator of EGPD-E for Northern Europe, G for United Kingdom, P for Scottish Region, D for Diceo. What to figure out of LFPG? Well, it's L for Southern Europe, F for France, P for Paris, FIR, and G for Charles de Gaulle Airport. Easy. Some are more easy to remember. The Dominican Republic codes all start with M, Central America, and D, Dominican, and then, well, let's see, you spot the code for International Airport, Santo Domingo, MDSD, La Mena, I guess. Sorry about that. MDLR, Puerto Plata is MDPP, Punta Gata is MDPC, and Santiago is MDST. So if London Heathrow has two codes, and it does, LHR and EGLL, how come I've heard Chicago O'Hare only call ORD? The answer is unique to the United States and Canada. In the 48 contiguous states, the ICAO code is formed simply by adding a K to the three-letter code or by adding C in Canada. This explains why international flight plans refer to KORD or KMIA, KFJ, and etc. A meeting of the two rules is Key West. The FAA code is EYW, lose the K. And the IATA code is KEYW, add the K, which works great for Key West. Seal?
Other airports within FAA jurisdiction have ACAO codes, usually formed by taking two letters from the FAA name and prefixing them with PA for Alaska, PH for Hawaii, or PG for Guam. PT appears to be Pacific Trust Territories, Pompeii, Yap, Chuuk, etc. And there are various random other P codes, like Puak for Wake Island. Hopefully I'm pronouncing all these right. While most U.S. airports have the same three-letter location identifier for the FAA and IATA, note I didn't say all do. Scenic Sedona Airport in Arizona is assigned SEZ by the FAA and SDX by the IATA. Because for international airlines, SEZ, Seychelles International Airport, and Mahé Seychelles, another is the Hilton Head Airport in South Carolina mentioned earlier. Its IATA code is HHH, but its FAA three-letter code is HXD. I'm confused. Gay?
Instrument pilots are familiar with another type of identifier, not for an airport or navigation aid, but simply for a point in space. Every airway intersection is a five-letter, supposedly pronounceable combinations from DCO to ZZARP. Just like airports, some fixes are named after towns. Close to Raleigh, North Carolina are DUHAM over Durham and CHAPL over Chapel Hill intersections. Some are named after people or events, and others are just named for fun. B-O-R-E-D, bored. B-U-I-L-T, built. B-U-T-C-H, butch. The excellent book, Chasing the Glory, by Michael Parfit, introduces us to the women whose names intersections, Macho Irene. The woman who names them, Macho Irene. She dreams of some pompous Boeing 747 captain saying, "Roger, we'll report, mummy."
From L.A. to D-U-H-A-M, identifiers have grown in complexity and are now used as computer codes in vast reservation systems and flight management computers. The latest trend in bag tagging technology is laser-printed barcodes for automated luggage systems. While pound, 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 pound ever completely replaced DFW, will it? The answer may be found at DIA, the new Denver International Airport, which used identifier DVX when the runway's opening for testing, but inherited the familiar DEN code when Denver's Stapleton Airport closed down. Oh, still wondering about the world's busiest airport, O'Hare International, and its ORD code. Well, once upon a time, before the editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, Colonel Robert McCormick, suggesting a name change as tribute to pilot Lieutenant Commander Edward Butch O'Hare, United States Navy, there was an airship well in the northwest of Chicago with a quaint, peaceful name, Orchard Field. Cecile.
Now for the test. Since we now know you were all taking notes with all these letters, let's see how many of the following you can get right. Everybody have their paper and pencil ready? Here we go. Airport names for the following identifiers. S-U-X. We had to start with that one. A-B-E, H-H-H, I-A-D, S-J-U, R-D-U, F-A-T, B-A-D, D-A-B, P-E-E, and P-O-O. Okay, we snuck in a few on you. Now we know where all our luggage arrives or doesn't. And on a side note, I want you all to know that as airline employees, we had to memorize all these. And, Neil, I really think we should make a copy of this tonight's show and give it to all new airline employees, because I never did understand why the letters were so complex, and it was definitely on the test as a ticket agent, and I'm sure on the pilot's test.
Wow. You're right, Cecile. I learned a lot tonight, especially flying to those airports that were not on the eastern route system. But like HHH, I'm sure Gay knows that. Right, Gay?
Yes, that's right, okay. Hilton Head.
Okay. And I'm not going to answer. I forgot what SUX was. Don't care to know. But does anyone have that one? While you're thinking of that, or looking it up, or ABE, I've been there because that's
I've been there.
Okay. All of the Eastern guys have been there. Yeah, ABE, Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. Those three airports that were served.
What is FAT? FAT. What is that one? FAT.
Does anyone remember FAT? FAT. Come on.
It's according to what your figure is.
All right, Neil, we're going to send you, everybody can email their test to Neil and you'll grade them, right, Neil?
Yeah.
You'll give us a grade.
Well, you know, a couple of them there, BAD, B-A-D and DAB, D-A-B. I know D-A-B is Daytona Beach, and a little dab will do you is the way I used to remember DAB and little dab will do you. But there's one that's called P-E-E, and that I think is an airport in Russia, somewhere in Russia. Poo, P-O-O, is another airport that we mentioned. But there are so many identifiers, and you know, when we went on our trips, wherever we went around the world, a vacation or whatever, and we went to that destination, we saw these letters stamped on our baggage tags that that would identify where the baggage would eventually, hopefully, arrive, where we also hopefully arrived. But so interesting that I've got one of our Turkish friends, my friend Murat, here in the studio with me, and he is from Turkey. And I was asking him while we were talking about the various station identifiers. He's from Istanbul, and I was asking him about the airport that he left to fly. As a matter of fact, he came over to America for the first time. And I might say on our radio show, Murat, welcome to America.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you very much.
Very good. And this is his first trip over here, and he left a city that we all know as Istanbul, and it's one of the world's largest cities. The population, I've been told, is 18, 19, 20 million. I don't know which one to believe.
Wow.
At any rate, it's a huge city. And I asked him, I said, Murat, what's the station identifier for Istanbul Airport that you left to come to Miami? What is it, Murat?
Neil, thank you very much for this opportunity. We have two airports in Istanbul for 20 million people. The third one is coming, is under construction. The code for the main Istanbul Atatürk Airport is IST. It's located on the European side. The second one is Sabiha Gökçen Airport. The code is SAW. Sabiha Gökçen is the world's first combat woman pilot. The airport is honored for her.
Oh, okay. The first Turkish airline pilot? Or pilot?
The world's first combat pilot.
Combat pilot. Yeah. My golly. And it's named after her.
Yeah.
Now, where is that going to be? Is it also in Istanbul?
Yes.
It will be in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, I can understand IST for Istanbul. IST. Istanbul.
Yes.
The main syllables are the main letters for Istanbul. But welcome to America, Istanbul. Listen to me, Istanbul Murat.
Thank you.
And I would love to visit Istanbul sometime.
I'm looking forward to in Istanbul.
Okay, and I think, Chuck, you've been over in that area, haven't you?
Yeah, I did, when I was in the Air Force Reserves, I did three tours in Incirlik, Turkey, which is down south a little bit, if I remember right. We also went to Antioch. I went on a tour there. But it was really nice. It was the Turkish people are really, really dedicated to their country and their politics and everything else. But they are really worldwide in what they want to tell the rest of the world about it. I was very interested in their culture and everything else. I went to, I can't remember the valley, but it was where the Turkish people hid during some of the wars back in the 13th and 14th century. That they had underground cities. They were very, very interesting to walk through them and see some of the stuff that they had built over the centuries. And I enjoyed my tours. It was very good there. I even went through they had an earthquake there. So that was the one and only earthquake that I ever went through. Fortunately, I was out in the desert, so we weren't in too much of harm's way. But Turkey was a very nice place. I liked traveling around in it. So welcome.
Neil.
Hope you have a good trip here.
Yes,
Neil?
Steve.
This is Steve, and I have a question, and this is a question that everyone can get some bonus points on, but I'm filing a flight plan from Raleigh to Hilton Head. and I type in as my destination, HHH, and it will be bounced back as destination unknown. Now, why is that? Because, but if I type in the destination as 49 Juliet, it goes through just fine.
Steve, the only answer that I would have, knowing the limited knowledge that I've had, as a matter of fact, for tonight, the show tonight, I'm going to go through it a couple of times so I can remember all these airport identifiers. But I would imagine that prior to commercial flight into HHH, it had a number identification, which most all general aviation's airports have, I believe. Most all general aviation airports that do not have passenger flights or commercial flights going in and out. So that would be my answer to it. What do you think? Any other thoughts about that?
I think you're right. But it still does not recognize HHH as a destination by the FAA. It still uses 49 Juliet.
Well, one of our future shows is going to be with the FAA, and the next show or the show after that, Cecile has promised me one of her friends who's with the FAA, and maybe that's a good question to ask the FAA. Why will it not take from RDU, Raleigh-Durham, or wherever your origination airport is, to your destination airport, HHH? It doesn't accept that. So that's a good question.
Have you tried reversing that and see what comes up?
HHH.
Neil, if I might say something here, I will address that question by email, but we'll also talk about it on the radio show when she's on, and hopefully we'll have a couple of FAA. I believe you have a friend. But if I could just detour 1 second here, I'm with your permission. A friend of mine, Anna Pansino, worked for Eastern 20 years as a gate agent at Eastern Airlines, and over the weekend her father, 94 years old, born in Italy, just left us and went to heaven. And I'd like to express our condolences. They're in Chicago to the Pansino family, a beautiful family. And again, she worked with Eastern Airlines for 20 years, and his name was Pasquale Pansino. So thank you for allowing me.
I wish you'd get that to me, and I'll put it on the website also, Cecile. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Neil, I got a little blurb I'd like to talk about for a second.
Yeah, one thing, Chuck, first of all, I'd like to say thanks a lot, guys and gals. It was great talking about airport identifiers, and that's behind us now. And so there are a lot of other interesting subjects, and Chuck, I think you have one tonight for us. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, I was on my television set today just perusing through the channels, and MSNBC had three different programs on October the 5th, which was yesterday, at different times. I think one was at 8 p.m. and the other one was at 9 or something. Anyway, it was about different things that happened in the airline business, and one of them was they told about why planes crash, and it was very, very interesting. As much as I know about aircraft and everything, I still learn things about why planes crash. And, of course, they went into very big detail. And then one of the other ones was, it was telling about collision course, it was called. And it was telling about what happens when the misinformation and everything in planes collide. And then their third part of the series was fire in the sky. And they went to different types of accidents and things that happen about aircraft that have caught on fire in the past. And this went all the way back into the 1930s and then came back up here recently. A couple of them we've already talked about. But if you have a chance and you can get on MSNBC, you can find out these different programs slotted for yesterday. And they were very informative. I recorded most of them, all of them on my DVR. So if you get a chance, take a look at them. I think you'll learn some things.
Neil, just want to remind everybody that airline travel is your safest mode of travel for those people that are afraid to travel. It is your safest mode.
Wow. You know, Chuck, I looked at your program that you looked at, and I looked at the first hour, I guess, because it continues. And, gee, you don't want too many passengers seeing that review of airline crashes. And I guess tomorrow maybe I'll watch the second phase of it, or segment, episode, or whatever. And
you're probably right. It's probably mostly for, I think, airline people, like, you know, pilots and mechanics and stuff.
Yeah, technical stuff, yeah.
What happens, you know, it goes in detail. You're very right.
Yeah, it's something that you wouldn't want to put out there, and hopefully that the major networks won't pick up something like that. And it's stuck where YouTube is about the only way you could find that, and maybe on one of the 2 o'clock a.m., 3 o'clock a.m. when you can't sleep, TV programs that I often watch, and it might be shown there. As a matter of fact, you can even see me about 2 o'clock at 3 o'clock in the morning, because there was a show done on Flight 401 that was done by William Shatner, and you can see that by going to a particular season and episode and viewing that. And I was on that show, but I wouldn't want the public seeing shows like that that identify what really happened in certain situations. But really, really good stuff tonight, guys and gals. And also, I'd like to throw out another topic before we have to sign off, and that is the new Eastern Airlines is going to, I think, fly their first flights somewhere at the beginning of the year, January, maybe February. And we have talked about it on previous shows about employees chartering one of their 737-800s on their first inaugural flight to San Juan, having a charter flight there. And on the air, as was mentioned to Ed Wiegel, the president of the new Eastern Airlines, he seemed to be very receptive to that idea. And so I'd like to talk about the possibility of maybe in the next few broadcasts we might solicit those people, or ask those people that listen to our show, to find out if they would be interested in being on that first inaugural flight of the new Eastern Airlines. Of course, I think, Chuck, you and I talked earlier, it depends on the price of the ticket to go round trip from point A to point B, and point A being Miami, and point B is, as I conceived, that type of flight being to San Juan, and because they're going to operate in the Caribbean and South Central America. But if we could have a flight like that, I think we could fill up a flight. I think, Steve, you talked about maybe some in your family might be interested. And if we could kind of hype that up on our radio shows to see what is the interest out there of our listeners, and what is the interest of being on that first flight, that inaugural flight of an Eastern airplane that had the colors and the logo on its aircraft that we remember. So let me throw that out to see what you guys think about that, and see if we might be able to create some interest in that first flight.
Neil, how do the listeners notify you that they're interested?
Well, of course, we have a contact page on our website. Thanks, Cecile. That's a good question. We do have a website for our radio shows, and some people listen to our radio shows on our website. It's called EALRadioShow.com. That's all you have to type into your browser, EALRadioShow.com, and there you will go to the website. And if you're not a member, we have about 800 members now. If you're not a member, or you don't have to be an Eastern employee, but just a friend or an interested person in Eastern Airlines returning again, you can go to that website and register your name, and by golly, you're right there in the website. And we have a contact page that is called Contact Us. It's right on the side of the home page, Contact Us. And it's very simple. Host, H-O-S-T, at EALRadioShow.com. And it'll get you to a page that you can type in your comment and say, yeah, I'd be interested in going on the Eastern inaugural flight, which is approximately, 4 or 5 months from now. And, how do I go about reserving a seat on that airplane? And we'll submit that to Ed Weigel, president of the New Eastern Airlines, and see what happens. By golly, we might have a flight of people that listen to the radio show and others. And it'd be a lot of fun, I think. I'd be willing to spend a ticket price to go down to San Juan and listen to perhaps some of the officers, managers of the New Eastern Airlines tell us about their plans, and then return back to Miami and eventually back here to Ponte Vedra, Florida, which is close to St. Augustine and Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah,
Any other comments you guys like to make? Steve?
I think we should pursue that, Neil.
Great.
Neil, that sounds like a good idea. I might be interested in that.
Okay, very good. Frank, how about you in New York? Are you still with us?
Still here.
Yeah, you're still with us? Okay, very good. It's great having you with us, by the way. And it's been a real good show tonight. I appreciate all of you guys participating. And we're already over our scheduled broadcast time of 1 hour. I hear the sign-off bumper music, as they refer to in talk radio, of the goodnight song that we use every show. And, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time and same station. And that is EALRadioShow.com. Just come there and punch the arrow. Like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. We hope we are doing so right here at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern like we have tonight. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight 185 departs the gate. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, and from all the gang here at our studio and remote locations, we all say good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We'll see you next week.